Revelation chapter 19, verses 14 through 21. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Verse number 14. The armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. The armies in heaven include all the host of heaven. But whose host was blessed by Melchizedek after the rescue of Lot's family in the book of Genesis, chapter number 14, verse number 18? In the book of Exodus, chapter number 12, verse number 41, at the end of the 430 years of slavery, even the selfsame day it came to pass, all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Israel, Abraham's seed, is the host of our Lord. As we consider apostolic testimonies, not only the newborn disciples and all the experienced believers, but also the redeemed souls still under the yoke of bondage are named my people by our Heavenly Father in the book of Acts, chapter number 18, verse numbers 9 and 10. The Lord spoke to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and I have much people in this city. In the epistle to the Philippians, chapter number 3, verse number 20, our conversation, citizenship, residence is in heaven. In the epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 2, verse number 6, God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the chapter number 2, verse number 19, we are no more foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. In the chapter number 3, verse numbers 14 and 15, by our Lord Jesus Christ, the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. In the epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse numbers 22 through 24, the eternal future is already manifested in the testimony of the faithful believers. We are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel, the host of heaven, and the faithful on the earth are all one host under one captain, our Lord Jesus Christ. The entire host is one army adorned in Christ's righteousness and empowered by His Holy Spirit to battle in His war and in His righteous ways. Our enemy is aware of the supreme power of our sovereign. The devil knows his only possible success is in our disloyalty to our king, our acceptance of the devil's deceit. Our safety and prosperity is in the unity of Christ's Spirit. Our lion lamb is always victorious against the pretending roaring lion in the first epistle of Peter, chapter number 5, verse number 8. Our King is the King of Kings, verse number 16. Verse numbers 15 and 16. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Perhaps the two-edged swords were some Roman superior or super weapons. In the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 4, verse number 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The mightiest two-edged sword appeared to us in the chapter number 1, verse number 16. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And again in the chapter number 2, verse number 12. He who has the sharp sword with two edges says these things. The epistle to the Hebrews, chapter number 4, speaks to us, the believers. On which side of the sword are we? The former enemies or the stubborn permanent rebels? All the faithful followers of our great shepherd, the leader of the redeemed flock, were slain by the two-edged sword in their repentance. Reality of the new life in Christ is confirmed by faithfulness to the teachings of our great teacher, as his faithful apostles gave us. Let us look what happened in the book of Acts, chapter number 2, verse numbers 36 through 38. Therefore, let all Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. These souls were transferred to the right side from death to life. Our Lord has told us this truth in the Gospel according to John, chapter number 5, verse number 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. God sent not his Son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Gospel according to John, chapter number 3, verse numbers 17 and 18. All sinners persisting in their stubborn defiance against our Father's grace in Christ are aiming for the verse number 15. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations. The same sword of the Lord separates the penitent and obedient from sin and death, and cuts off the stubborn rebels from further opportunity of despising him, our King, and his grace. How has our King smitten the nations with his sword in the past times? How is he doing that presently? And how is he going to do the same in the future times? We know not all of his mysterious ways, yet as little as we observed in our short time, and as we have read in the books of the Kings and Chronicles, every evil fortress must collapse in his time at his word. How many wicked rulers and cruel regimes for a long time devised extinction of the true believers and abolition of all holy scriptures. They only destroyed themselves and their own regimes. Our Lord is using his great power to restrain the forces of evil and to smash the monsters when they act as almighty powers against the Lamb, who alone is the Lord. Many mighty empires, raging with cruelty and godlessness, disappeared from the face of the earth. Many regimes with satanic rage persecuted believers, but crumbled without any military force attack from outside their borders. Some of them were destroyed with awful destructions and disasters. All evil establishments have a detonator in the core of their design: sin. How shall he, our Lord, rule them with a rod of iron? Some believers tell us in their testimonies how long they struggled to silence the cry of their souls, how long they labored to make sin their goal and satisfaction, but our Lord's Spirit kept reminding them of their awful peril, of God's righteous judgment, and his marvelous salvation in Christ still offered, but not forever. Some governments accumulate massive ammunition and great capital planning to conquer the entire world. Their weapon turned against themselves and their capital lost value in their own time. Some world powers perished in hostile divisions in their own regions. Our Lord allowed their supporters of yesterday to become their executioners these days. Our Redeemer suffered the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God himself on behalf of his bride to make her perfect. Here we see him executing the righteous wrath of his Father's divine justice upon all who despised his eternal love and persecuted his beloved bride. In his creation, he is the author, designer, finisher, and sustainer. In his redemption, he is the mighty Lamb of God, our only ransom and our only reward. In his judgment, he remains our King and our Lord forever. Verse number 17 and 18. I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter number 13, presents the burden of Babylon. Condemning her, verse numbers 9 and 10 tell us, behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. The prophecy of the prophet Ezekiel in the chapter number 39, verse number 17 through 20, is very similar to the call in the verse number 17. Son of man, thus says the Lord God, speak unto every feathered fowl and to every beast of the field, gather yourselves on every side to my sacrifice that I do sacrifice for you, even a great sacrifice upon the mountains of Israel. Ye shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth. Ye shall eat fat till ye are full and drink blood till ye are drunk of my sacrifice which I have sacrificed for you. Ye shall be filled at my table with horses and chariots, with mighty men, and with all men of war, says the Lord God. In the prophecy of Ezekiel chapter number 32 is a similar tone. In the verse numbers 2 through 8, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh the king of Egypt. Verse number 4. I will cast you forth upon the open field, and will cause all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon you. And I will fill the beasts of the earth, the whole earth, with you. Verse number 5. I will lay your flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valleys with your height. Verse number 6. I will also water with your blood the land wherein you swim, even to the mountains, and the river shall be full of you. Verse number 7. When I shall put you out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. Verse number 8. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over you, and set darkness upon thy land, says the Lord God. In the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 5, verse number 45, is a gospel call. Be ye the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. The previous reference to Isaiah, chapter number 13, foretells darkness, no more waiting. The time of judgment has come. Total absence of light indicates the end of mercy time and judgment without any residue of mercy or further delay. In the Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 16, Christ's countenance is as the sun shines in his strength. The herald in this verse number 17 is standing still in Christ's bright light of gospel mercy and grace, but the condemnation of transgressions already goes forth. The call for the final judgment is loud and clear. This truth stands from the beginning. Right after the first transgression recorded, our Lord pronounced his condemnation and he promised his ransom. From the beginning and now, at the end, both are revealed to us in the same bright light, mercy and justice of our God. In the beginning, mercy had been proclaimed and the judgment foretold. At the end of mercy time, the final judgment has begun. Many signs of our Lord's displeasure heralded the final judgment. Two examples are in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 13, verse numbers 1 through 5. There were present at that season some that told him, our Lord, of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I think the verse number 17, 18, and 21 foretell the total defeat of evil. Just as in a battle defeat, all dead troops have become food for vultures and wild animals. The prophecy of Ezekiel chapter number 32, verse numbers 2 through 8. Another bright record is in the second book of Chronicles chapter number 32. The enemy boasts in the verse number 14, "Who was there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed, that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand?" In the verse number 21, "Our Lord sent an angel which cut off all the mighty men of valor and the leaders and captains in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned with shame of face to his own land. When he was come into the house of his God, they that came forth of his own bowels slew him there with the sword. His God saved him not from his own bloody sons." Our Creator made man sinless to rule over the created world. In sinful existence, man misused and abused our God's creation until they became victims of their sinful deeds. These visions are not telling us that any fowls, birds, will survive the final judgment. The list in the verse number 18 includes all that received the mark of the beast. No sin escapes our God's judgment. For so long a time our Savior has been calling, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Gospel according to Matthew chapter number 11 verse number 28. Sinners do not care. "Him that comes to me I will not cast out." Gospel according to John chapter number 6 verse number 37. Wicked men ignore or persecute him and his faithful heralds. In the end, or sooner, all iniquities and wickedness must face our God's just judgment. But for the grace of God, we would have been as lost as they. As the day of grace is closing, let us proclaim the gospel by godly life and witnessing to the truth. Verse number 19. "And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army." This confrontation has not started in this chapter, nor back in the chapter number 12, verse number 7, not even in the second Chronicles, chapter number 32. The first recorded battle between the truth and falsehood we see in the Garden of Eden, in Cain's deeds and words, and in the perversions before the great flood had been announced. This chapter brings us close to its end. Verse number 20. "The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone." The mighty beast was taken? When shall the great decisive battle happen? Never. One more mystery becomes one more revelation. Since the beginning of the rebellion, our Creator's throne was never shaken, nor was his power weakened. He is the Almighty forever. Yet he has his own way and time to prove the devil's wickedness and to spell the end of evil as soon as its measure is filled to justify our God's just judgment. Hallelujah. In the Gospel according to Mark chapter number 8, verse numbers 36 and 37, our Lord says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" We see the false prophet managed to deceive the world, but only the humanity that rejected our Savior's grace. The false prophet was not able to survive the beast. They both are only slaves. As our Lord is teaching us in the Gospel according to John chapter number 8, verse number 34, "Whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin." The false prophet is a slave of the beast. The beast is a slave of his own rebellion against our God, the only one who can give true and lasting freedom. Not the dragon, nor the beast, neither the false prophet, nor any of their deceived victims are true, real rulers. All they are only rebels. It is our Father's will to defeat the deceiver by the truth, to prevail against Satan's wickedness by his Son's righteousness, loyalty, suffering, death, and resurrection. His Holy Spirit defeated the adversary even in the lives of our God's children. The entire book of the Revelation and the whole Bible enlightens our mind to see more of our King's grace and majesty. Now we can see clearer the faithful witnesses recorded in the Scriptures. They endured all suffering and bravely faced martyrdom. They are adorned in the sunshine of our Redeemer and filled with His Holy Spirit. In Christ is their victory, and ours also. In Him, the Lord Jesus, are our everlasting life, peace, and joy. He is our great reward. Glory, power, adoration, and majesty are His forever and ever. Verse number 21. "And all the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. And the fowls were filled with their flesh." I already shared earlier in this chapter some insight into the meaning and significance of the sword coming from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The mightiest two-edged sword appears to us in the chapter number 1, verse number 16. "Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword." And again, in the chapter number 2, verse number 12, our Lord Jesus has the sharp sword with two edges. All the faithful followers of our great shepherd, the leader of the redeemed flock, were slain by the two-edged sword in their repentance. A reality of the new life in Christ is confirmed by faithfulness to the teaching of our Lord and Master, as His faithful apostles have recorded for us. Let us refresh our memory with the Epistle to the Romans chapter number 6, verse numbers 2 through 13. "We are dead to sin. We who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. We are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. He died unto sin once, but he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Yield not your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. On which side of the two-edged sword are we? Are we the former enemies, sinners broken by the judgment of God's word, saved by His grace, or the stubborn rebels ready for the same sword to cut us down as a fruitless vine? In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 15, verse number 6. Or the enemies, in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 19, verse number 27. The enemies, which would not that our Lord should reign over them, must get slain before Him. Our God is gracious, merciful, and just.